When my mom talked about menopause, she called it the change, and it was all very hush-hush, as if there was something wrong about something so natural. Thank goodness with mental health awareness and actual research, we're beginning to understand the huge role hormones play in women's bodies. Being postmenopausal has its challenges, but if you're going through either perimenopause or menopause, then I suggest you try Hormone Harmony. Why? Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now here's the beauty about them. They help the body adapt to stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code SELFWORK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code SELFWORK for 15% off today. As a psychologist, I've talked to many people with OCD about their experiences. The idea that OCD is only about hand washing and organization is a misconception. OCD is a severe and very common condition. OCD can latch onto anything, but it often focuses on the things we care about most. In an attempt to make the distress from their unwanted thoughts go away, people with OCD will often engage in repetitive physical or mental behaviors known as compulsions, which can be incredibly time-consuming and exhausting. Yet OCD is highly treatable, but it needs specialized treatment. NoCD is a virtual therapy provider for OCD that makes getting specialized therapy easier than ever. With NoCD, you can do live, face-to-face video therapy with licensed therapists who specialize in OCD. Therapists receive in-depth specialized training in exposure and response prevention, or ERP, a type of therapy that was designed specifically to treat OCD. NoCD accepts many major insurance plans and offers always-on support between sessions. If you think you might be struggling with OCD and want to learn more about therapy with NoCD, go to NoCD.com and schedule a free 15-minute call with their team. That's NoCD.com to learn more and book a free 15-minute call. This is Self-Work, and I'm Dr. Margaret Rutherford. At Self-Work, we discuss psychological and emotional issues and what you can do about them, whether that's learning self-acceptance, taking action, or seeking therapy or treatment. 8 years ago, I extended the walls of my practice to reach those of you who might already be knowledgeable about mental health treatment, but also to those of you who might say you'd never darken the door of a therapist. And yet, you are here. I'll answer your questions while I invite you to take a few minutes for your own self-work.
So many nurse practitioners and MDs and DOs, they hear this from their patients. They hear, I'm tired, I can't sleep, why can't I lose weight no matter what I'm doing? You know, I don't have sex drive anymore. What's happening to me? They're trying to respond to the needs of their patients, and we are equipping them to do so.
Welcome to this week's edition of Self-Work. All kinds of things serve as my motivation to feature a guest here on Self-Work, but I had an interesting experience with my cardiologist the other day. I think I mentioned it in the interview. Hormones definitely play a part in cardiological problems, and so I asked my cardiologist about hormones, and I had a question, and he looked at me and said, oh, I let the OBGYNs handle that. And I was just kind of stunned. So I thought, okay, I need to have a hormone expert here on Self-Work because the role of hormones is not well understood. Actually, medical students or doctors have to go for special training in hormones. And so I looked around for an expert, and actually one came my way. Her name is Donna White. She has over 30 years of experience with hormone replacement therapy, or bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, as she really says bioidentical is the way to go. She's written a new book called The Hormone Makeover. She says, I went from being a hormonal train wreck to living a life I never dreamed possible. So she is personally and professionally someone who knows a lot about hormones. And after all, we all need to make informed choices about our health care. She's not only helping us, but her BHRT Training Academy, which is bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, is actually training a lot of medical practitioners as well with the tools to affect positive change in hormone health. I found her fun, extremely well-versed in hormone treatment, and I have found myself, since I did this interview, talking with people, and I read the book, talking with people more specifically about where they could go for education about hormonal imbalance. So I know you're going to enjoy Donna White. Before we go there, let's hear from AG1. When AG1 first approached me about sponsoring self-work, I of course had to try it. I not only loved it because I could tell an improvement in my overall energy level, I could tell a difference in how my body felt. How even with my busy schedule, I could count on my body doing what it was supposed to do every day. And now there are studies being published showing that what I've been feeling is backed up by science. In one study, 97% of participants felt digestion improved after 90 days of drinking AG1. And in another, the actual composition of the microbes in your gut changed for the better. Add that to the fact that AG1 is in powder form, so it's easier for your body to digest. What good is a supplement if your body can't absorb and use it? So start with AG1 and notice the difference for yourself. It's a great first step to investing in your health, and that's why they've been a proud partner of mine for so long. Try AG1 and get a free bottle of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/selfwork. That's a $48 value for free if you go to drinkag1.com/selfwork. Check it out. And now, here's Donna White, author of The Hormone Authority. Well, first of all, anyone who Cindy Metzler says is someone I want to meet, I definitely want to meet you. So I was delighted that she gave me your name, and I read your book, and which is called The Hormone Makeover. And I just really am eager for this conversation today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Dr. Margaret. And I am eager as well. I'm so proud of the work that you're doing and the help that you are bringing to your community. And then let's commend your community. They are wanting and willing to learn. That inspires me.
Yeah, well, they are a great bunch, I tell you. They've hung with me now for almost 9 years. So, well, some of them have, not all of them. So first, tell us a little bit about you and who you are and how you got interested in hormones and all of that stuff.
Hello, I'm Donna White. I'm a recovering hormone train wreck. To be honest, yes, that's how I got my start. Way back many decades ago in my mid-20s, I was a hormonal train wreck. Speaking of emotions, once a month, I wanted to rip somebody's head off. I was mean as a rattlesnake, terrible periods, terrible hormonal headaches and acne. And thank God, Dr. Margaret, I figured out, hey, wait a minute. This is hormones. I mean, PMS 365 days a year. It's not PMS, but when it's happening once a month and it's raging. Yes, I did figure it out. And along the way in the process, I recognized I had stress hormone imbalances, thyroid issues. I've been through perimenopause. I've been through menopause. I'm almost 62. I'm postmenopausal. So I understand the impact of these hormones personally, but as I realized, as I started learning decades ago, I realized women need this information. Mm-hmm. I realized practitioners need this information to help their patients. So that's why I got into it. And since then, that is my passion, education. And I started a whole training company. It's the BHRT Training Academy several years ago. Mm-hmm. And what we do is train practitioners in how to get women's hormones back into balance. And those are women with PMS and perimenopause and menopause and all of those situations, PCOS, younger women, older women, because practitioners were looking for the answers too. Mm-hmm. And that I am very excited about that.
Well, it was interesting to me because I have a heart condition that's inherited, and I happened to go to my cardiologist after I'd read your book. And I have hormones. I have the patch. I have a patch, combi patch is what it's called. And I've been on it for a long, long time. And I'm knocking 70. So a long time is a long time. And I said to my cardiologist, oh, I he said, well, what have you been doing? You know, what are you taking? And I said, oh, I just read this book and I really am going to attend to putting on my patches regularly as I forget, but I'm going to try to really remember those. Well, why would that? He said, why would that matter? And I said, well, I just read that, you know, these kinds of hormones are very effective with reducing the risk of heart attacks and things like that. He goes, oh, I don't pay any attention to those hormones. And I thought, oh my God, I think you should.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now that we're there, tell us the difference between a bioidentical hormone and just a regular hormone.
And thank you for bringing that up, because that is a point of confusion, amongst practitioners as well as the public. So bioidentical hormones have the same exact molecular structure as human endogenous hormones. They're exactly the same, as opposed to non-bioidentical hormones. Non-bioidentical hormones could be animal derived or just synthetic versions of hormones. Okay, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
Well, exactly. A hormone is a hormone is a hormone. Oh, no, not true at all. We do know that from research and data, but just logically, if your hormones are low, now some cases hormones are too high, and that's another way, that takes another approach. But if hormones are deficient, let's say if you're not making enough estrogen or progesterone or testosterone, the ideal replacement and what we know from research and the safest replacement or way to augment those levels and optimize them is with a bioidentical form, because the bioidentical hormones fit into the hormone receptors.
Right.
That's how hormones work. Right. They fit into their hormone receptor and deliver the message.
It's like having the right plug.
Exactly right. Or it doesn't fit properly.
Fit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the bioidentical hormones are the exact same chemical molecule as our bodies make. So if you use a non-bioidentical hormone, it doesn't fit in that hormone receptor perfectly, Dr. Margaret. So it doesn't give you all of the benefits, but that's where the side effects come in. So it doesn't fit in the hormone. Your body doesn't know how to metabolize horse urine estrogen properly.
But how are you supposed to know? How is just the average person supposed to know whether they're taking bioidentical hormone or not?
Hence my passion, Dr. Margaret. Get the word out. They don't know. Of course, we have charts that help people understand that. But you're exactly right. How do they know? So what we're looking for to find that out is it estradiol? Is it progesterone? Not medroxyprogestin acetate or ethinyl estradiol. So it would take some education to know how to read that prescription and say what it is. However, this is information that is important and we need to help people.
Why don't you say those two things again? It's estradiol and progesterone.
Estradiol or 17-beta estradiol, that is bioidentical. You will see that on a lot of pharmaceutical, like if you look at your patch, it probably says 17-beta estradiol. Okay, that's bioidentical. And you're using it topically, which is great. There's a big difference between oral and topical hormones. We can discuss if you'd like. But progesterone, you want micronized progesterone or progesterone. You don't want medroxyprogestin acetate or any of the other forms of progesterone. And testosterone would be labeled as testosterone, never methyl testosterone.
It was interesting to me to read when research actually shows that perimenopause starts, that's the period before menopause, menopause and postmenopause. So, can you explain that from your wealth of knowledge?
Well, there's a lot of common types of imbalances. Not all women fit this mold, but progesterone starts dropping in the mid-30s. A lot of women coast along just fine until about mid-30s. And with that decline of progesterone, they find that they may have heavier periods, mood swings or premenstrual issues, fibroids or fibrocystic breast issues. They're losing those protective effects of regular ovulation, especially if women are under a lot of stress. And who isn't these days, exactly. Dr. Margaret, that can exacerbate that. So unless a younger woman has severe PMS or polycystic ovarian syndrome with acne and facial hair, usually most women are okay about till the mid-30s when the fun begins and the perimenopausal because you can be perimenopausal and for 10 to 15 years prior to the
actual. That was shocking to me. That was shocking.
Mm-hmm. That's a long time of being uncomfortable without some type of defining what's going on and getting some help. So then estrogen, the second primary hormone, typically that starts bouncing around, fluctuating wildly like a roller coaster in the late 40s, early 50s. And then it drops down and women stop having their periods. And when you've gone a year, that's more like that's when we define as postmenopausal. So as estrogen starts fluctuating up and down, then a lot of women can experience those menopausal type symptoms, the hot flashes, the vaginal dryness, the depression, the I can't remember what I went to the pantry for, a lot of the more commonly known menopausal symptoms.
And I don't know what I went to the bathroom for.
Okay, let's work.
Did I come in here for a Q-tip?
And then testosterone. Women do need some testosterone. We make smaller amounts than men, but that's more of a gradual decline, or it's exacerbated also by stress, or when women are on birth control pills, that will drop their testosterone level. So that's more of a gradual decline. And when testosterone levels become lower or lower than optimal, then women, yes, that affects their mood, but that also affects their waistline and their ability to grow hair, nails, bones, feel motivated and have that drive and so forth. Mm-hmm. So a lot of effects or signs and symptoms, as we call them, occur when hormone levels are not in optimal ranges.
Okay. Gosh, a lot of questions are coming to mind. Let me try to hone in on a couple of them. I went through in vitro fertilization, and I'm wondering how all of those medications that a lot of women are now going on are affecting hormonal levels.
That is a very valid question. But the question I would ask prior to that is, I wonder why you were having those issues. Was it that a hormonal insufficiency? Was it a suboptimal thyroid issue? Or was there not enough progesterone on board? Was there a hormonal contributing factor? I don't know. It's too late to know now, but I just wonder what that was, because that is an issue for a number of young women trying to get pregnant.
Sure. Sure. Well, I don't know if that's anything that was ever checked, frankly. I mean, this was 30 years ago, so I did have a child.
Oh, good. I was going to ask.
I lucked out. But then you really talked about four common types of hormonal imbalance, a lower progesterone, which is often part PMS, a lowered progesterone, estrogen, and testosterone, then too much progesterone, and then poor thyroid and adrenal function.
Well, it wouldn't be too much progesterone. Some women have too much testosterone.
Testosterone.
And that can occur in a lot of younger women. And sometimes they'll be diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome, but not always. But those are the younger women that do struggle oftentimes with infertility, but with facial hair or acne or a lot of body hair and body odor. And that can be from too much testosterone.
Would you expect these days for an OBGYN or a reproductive endocrinologist to check those hormones, or is it they just start giving you medications?
It would be ideal. And unfortunately, to present, gynecologists are not trained in assessing for hormone imbalance. That's just not part of their training. They are surgeons. We work with many, many different wonderful gynecologists, but that is not a part of their training. They're trained in other methods. So for a doctor to learn about how to get hormones back into balance, to manage PMS, to help women, through menopause and postmenopausal without just whipping out the pad and saying, here, take a combi patch or, you know, just the latest, whatever the pharmaceutical rep left a pamphlet on, you know, of a synthetic hormone, they have to seek out additional training because bioidentical hormone replacement therapy isn't taught in med school. Not yet. We're still hoping for that change one day, but it is not taught in med school, whether it's a gynecologist or endocrinologist or internal medicine or family practice. It's just not training.
What about men? Training. What about men? I mean, obviously men have lots of hormones. So what do they need to look into hormonal replacement or?
Yes, absolutely. And their primary hormone, of course, is testosterone, but it declines. And unfortunately, around the age of 40, hormonal decline starts to occur for men. They lose about 1 to 1.5% of their testosterone every year after that age, and it just drops. So by the time they get to be 60, they're only making typically about 40% of the testosterone they made back in college or back in the early 20s. And okay, how does that affect them? Well, we see bodily changes. We see them sometimes with man boobs and a little, you know, a little tummy or a big tummy. They lose, you know, bone density, cognitive function. They lose, you know, sexual function, ability to maintain muscle mass and so forth. So and testosterone is cardioprotective, cognitive protective. So it does affect them. And here's one more little tidbit about men. You don't have to have low libido or low sex drive to have low testosterone.
Interesting.
That's in the brain. You know, that is the drive. I want to. I'm interested. But the performance thing is a second issue. So men can have normal, same libido they've always had and still have low testosterone. So it behooves men to be tested. We're back to the, you know, shouldn't we be tested? Yes.
So let's take a break and we'll be back in just a moment. Do you wish you had a healthier diet? Let's be real. Eating healthy can be a hassle. There's shopping and meal prep, and especially if you're trying to manage depression or anxiety, what if there was an easier way and a way for you to be assured you're taking care of your family? Meet Sunbasket, a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens, literally dozens, of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. I discovered Sunbasket during the pandemic, and was that ever a game changer? Their meal kits are quick and easy, even if you're not a pro in the kitchen. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitment to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very best. So go to sunbasket.com/selfwork today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/selfwork to save $120 across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order.
What is the better way to test?
And that is a fabulous question. There are four ways to test hormones: serum, saliva, dried urine, and capillary blood spot. And there's pros and cons to each methodology. There's benefits and limitations of each. So it takes a good practitioner to determine, you know, which testing, and then when you're on a specific hormone, if you're on a cream or a pellet or a patch or a pill, then that can dictate which type of test is best. So for starting out, for somebody that's not on any hormones at all, it's okay to use serum testing, as long as you know what to test. And that
there are going to be people who listen who don't know what serum testing is.
Oh, I'm sorry, blood testing. So serum is blood testing. The average, you know, go to the lab, you know, do the venipuncture and get testing. That is okay to, if you're not taking anything. And that can be very useful for a lot of things. But there's one caveat. When we're looking at hormones, Dr. Margaret, we want to consider all of the primary hormones. We're kind of tailoring our discussion to estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, the sex hormones. But the other important hormones are thyroid, adrenal hormones, insulin, you know, and glucose metabolism and so forth, because that's a comprehensive view or approach, because all of the hormones affect each other. Mm-hmm. So that is important. So I'm making a point here. My point is it's very, very important to check stress hormones, and that's cortisol. Now, a lot of people have heard that word, cortisol. That is the hormone that we make under stress. And that is so important to check that. And that can't be done very well, or to give you the information you want in blood testing, that really does need to be saliva or dried urine, because the stress hormones, if you make too much cortisol, mm-hmm. or if it bounces around, or if it's just gotten to the point where it's too low, mm-hmm. that affects all your other hormones. You can't get them back into balance. They don't work as well. They don't get into their hormone receptors. So it takes a good comprehensive testing and approach to get the best results and get your hormones into balance and optimized.
So in your experience, what is the reason why many women and maybe some men resist looking at hormone therapy?
Oh, I love this question. Because confusion. And unfortunately, there's a lot of confusion about hormones because people, you know, have not done what you just did today. You said, well, let's distinguish the difference between, you know, the bioidentical. Some people use the word natural, but that's not really accurate, but bioidentical or the synthetic hormones. And most people, I think, generally speaking, are aware that synthetic hormones have side effects. And they're right. They do. But the confusion comes in when they don't realize that there's a difference between the two. And there's a lot of confusion about the data, all of the research behind the use of hormones and the support that they give and how protective they are, how they protect brain function and help prevent cognitive decline, build bones, help us not gain weight, help us maintain healthy blood sugar and insulin function and protect our heart and help prevent, yes, I said prevent cancer. So there's so many benefits to having optimal levels of hormones and the use of hormone replacement therapy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yes, there is so much confusion because of the different types of hormones that are available.
And what about the fear of cancer? Because I certainly heard 20 years ago, you know, don't take them because you're going to get, you know, breast cancer or ovarian cancer, I think it is.
At any and all, the list is broad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when it comes down to the answers to this, we never want to go by my opinion or anybody's opinion. We want to look at what does the research actually say? And it gets tricky when it comes to looking at hormone research, because you have to dig a little deeper and say, which hormone was used in the study? There was one study that was very poorly handled. Back in 2000, it was called the Women's Health Initiative 2001, and it was highly publicized because in that study, which was done on Premarin-derived estrogen from horse urine, orally taken by mouth, mm-hmm. and a synthetic form of progestin. And they had to stop the study earlier. It was causing increased risk of cancer and blood clots and these things. And the media went crazy with it. Prior to then, decades of research had showed the benefits of taking hormone replacement therapy. Mm-hmm. So that caused a lot of confusion. And now we are, 23 years later, you know, we're 20 some years after that. And the authors have come out and said, wait a minute, we didn't analyze that correctly. Well, here's what we have found. Now, here's what we found. We've got to get back to answer your question, because it is about cancer. Because a lot of women think, oh, hormones cause cancer. What we know now from that study that caused all the confusion and many other studies is that actually, Dr. Margaret, estrogen helps prevent cancer, breast cancer. Oh. Even that horse urine estrogen reduced the risk of breast cancer 23%. And if women are taking estrogen or took it a short period of time, I think 5 years, if women had, you know, take hormone replacement therapy, estrogen, specifically and get breast cancer, they're 40% less likely to die from it. The wow. information that was put to the public was misinterpreted and caused a lot of confusion. And again, it's not just that study. Other studies have demonstrated the protective effects against breast cancer from estrogen. Now, then there's progesterone. Well, synthetic progesterone is the one hormone that has been clearly demonstrated to increase the risk of breast cancer, but not bioidentical. We learned way back in 1981 from a study done at Johns Hopkins, they found that half of all breast cancer could be prevented by having a normal level of progesterone. That was 1981. Again, half of all breast cancer could be prevented by having a normal level of progesterone. Since then, that's quite a few years ago, many studies have supported that and have come out and taught us how progesterone prevents breast cancer, the ways, and confirmed it over and over again. Progesterone is one of the most protective things we can do to prevent breast cancer. And sadly, half of all women are deficient in progesterone by the time they reach their mid to late 40s. Then what about testosterone? Testosterone is breast protective from women. We know that from research. So that's why it's so important.
There are side effects of estrogen, progesterone, bioidentical hormones. You said there are side effects.
I was referring to the side effects of synthetic hormones, but you bring up a valid point. Too much of a good thing is not a good thing. I mean, estrogen is a wonderful hormone. So many different things that it does in the body, but you don't want too much. It's about balance. So when women have too much estrogen and not enough progesterone to keep it in balance, then they can feel irritable and can't sleep and have heavy periods. So it is about balance. Okay. And then with progesterone, women don't ever make too much progesterone, but if a practitioner gave them too much, then they could feel bloated and have increased appetite. And there's some side effects to that if you take too much. Some women, as we've said, make too much testosterone, and we have to work on getting that down because too much, we need testosterone, but too much will interfere with our skin or cause facial hair, acne. So
what about the research? Does it include minorities or is it mostly Caucasian people?
You know, that's a fabulous question. And I don't know. I don't know that I would have to dig really deep to see if it's been separated. Now, we do know that African-American women do tend to have more fibroids. That's one thing that I can recall from memory. But I don't know as far as hormone replacement therapy or what these hormones do, how much that the research has been separated.
Be important, certainly. And so what do you say to the women who would look at us and say, wait a minute, we're messing with nature? They probably say, be the people who would have told me not to have IVF. But, don't mess with nature. You're going to get older, just accept it.
Yes. Blah, blah. Yes. And valid question. If your vision, it comes to the point in your 40s or 50s, do you need reading glasses? Okay. Well, it's natural. Why do we need to? Kind of a simple example.
Yeah. It's a great example.
If you think about it, postmenopausal, okay, so at menopause, the hormones have declined unless we're working on them. And ideally, you get those hormones into balance before you hit menopause, and then it won't be so turbulent. But if we are, look at the hormones, and they're low, we want to make sure that we're getting those into balance. Okay. So your question is, why should I do anything at all? Women live longer now than we used to. We live often a third of our lives in menopause. I think if you go through menopause, the average age is 51, and many of us go on to live 80, 85, 90 with low hormones. and feeling tired, can't sleep, no libido, wrinkling, gaining weight, you know, ending up with, you know, on this cardiovascular, you know, heart medicine or that heart. Do we want to live that long with low hormones, or do we want to, you know, assess them and see which one is low and do everything that we can to prevent the diseases associated with aging? Because as hormones decline, diseases associated with aging increase. So hormones decrease, diseases associated with aging increase. So I want to do everything that I can to prevent disease. I want to still be thinking and recognizing my kids when I'm 90 something, and I want to maintain brain function and mobility. And that's what hormones do. They protect our heart, our brain, our bones, our skin, so many different functions in the body.
What about cost?
Ah, good question. Well, it certainly depends on how many hormones you might need. We'll just use me as an example. I do take estrogen. I take progesterone. Now I take a little testosterone because that's dropped down some. And then I do plenty of supplements and so forth. But it depends on the type of hormone. One point that I would like to make is that anytime if your estrogen is low and you replace estrogen, we want to do it transdermal, not swallowing it. Because when you swallow oral estrogen, what even if it's bioidentical, that can increase clotting factors. And it has a few other things that we don't appreciate either, but we don't want to do anything to increase our blood clot risk. So transdermal, so that would be an estradiol patch or cream or pellet. So average cost, some like a patch could be insurance reimbursable. The creams, if you're using a cream, that's probably going to range maybe anywhere from 45 to 65 a
which
month.
Is out of range of many people. Yeah.
It can be. And unfortunately, that's the case. I wish that everything was a lot more accessible and affordable to the majority of the people, but sadly it's not. And then pellets are going to be your most expensive form of hormone replacement.
Okay. Why don't you talk about BHRT? Because I know that's a passion for you.
Well, that stands for bioidentical hormone replacement therapy.
But your organization is what I'm talking about.
Yes. And the reason why we started that, or why I started that academy, is because, well, there's one study that came out that said, what, 78% of gynecology residents feel ill-prepared to help women with hormone problems. Well, we already knew that.
Yeah, exactly.
But we started this this training academy to help equip the providers. I felt like I could impact more people if I could educate practitioners. And lo and behold, Dr. Margaret, they were interested. They want to. So many nurse practitioners and MDs and DOs, they're like, they hear this from their patients. They hear, I'm tired. I can't sleep. Why can't I lose weight no matter what I'm doing? You know, I don't have sex drive anymore. What's happening to me? They're trying to respond to the needs of their patients, and we are equipping them to do so. And it has spread. You know, we serve several countries at this point, but
really?
I am so excited that practitioners, Dr. Margaret, they really do want to learn. Like I said, they're not taught in med school, but they do their hardest to help these patients for the most part.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. So can a just a normal person come to this academy, or is it?
It wouldn't be worth it to them. What would help is if they went to one of the providers that we've trained, and we have a directory that they can seek out providers. Because just like any profession, not everybody that puts a shingle on their doorpost is qualified, and there are some unscrupulous practitioners out there charging unrealistic amounts of money and not doing things to the standards that I would like to see it done. So I'd rather share with, you know, people that we do recommend, practitioners we do recommend.
You talked about having a sort of an international influence. That must be exciting. What's going on there?
Well, we have a lot of interest, from Canada. Now we're getting a lot of interest from Africa.
Interesting.
Providers wanting to learn.
Sure.
Other countries in Europe wanting to learn about hormones and how to help these patients.
That's really exciting, Donna. And so anything else you'd like to share?
I guess the main thing that I think is important for women to realize is that hormones have a big impact on how they feel, how they look. And if you're not feeling right, if you're tired, if you can't sleep, if your libido is gone, if your mood is awful, if you're wrinkling way too rapidly or having any of these PMS or menopausal symptoms, there is help for you. And there is scientifically evidence-based, safe help that is protective in other ways. So learn as much as you can. And one thing that I did in that book is I put a chapter summary at the end of every chapter.
So I saw that. I really like that too.
Skim through there and go back to it. And yes, get your hormones tested. And that's how you're going to know if something is awry, is to get a good hormone test so that you know. And then you can decide, okay, I want to do this or I need more information. So suffer with symptoms. You don't have to.
Well, and that's advocating for yourself as well.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. And if your gynecologist or your practitioner is closed-minded, go to another one.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is.
Right. Well, thank you so very much. I really appreciate it. You're like a walking encyclopedia about this stuff.
Thank you. I enjoyed my time with you immensely.
Thank you, Donna, so much. Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you.
Bye for now. Thanks so much to Donna for her quite in-depth knowledge and expertise. I want to invite you to stop by my YouTube channel. We have turned our attention to it. I'm doing individual videos on different aspects of Perfectly Hidden Depression. We're having a great time using a film crew. It's certainly something I've never done. I'd love for you to meet me over there. It's just Dr. Margaret Rutherford at YouTube. I tell you what, I'll have the link in the show notes. How about that? My Facebook group is going strong. We'd love to have you as a member at facebook.com/group/selfwork. And you can always subscribe on drmargaretrutherford.com. It is the easiest way because you'll get a weekly newsletter, just one, that'll give you what this podcast is for the week, what my blog post is, other things I may be interested in or want to tell you about. And I'd love to have you subscribe at drmargaretrutherford.com. You also get a free ebook, which is new. It came out maybe 5 or 6 months ago. And it's all about you identifying what you use to protect yourself psychologically, emotionally, all that kind of thing. Kind of interesting. Or at least I hope it is. Thank you for being here today. You're my best marketing quote unquote technique. And please tell your friends that you're finding self-work helpful to you. Again, thank you for being here. Please take care of yourself, your family, your loved ones, and your community. Certainly with all the natural disasters that have happened in the United States and all over the world, we're learning the importance of a good community. I'm Dr. Margaret, and this has been Self Work.